As Fran said to the children, our first scripture lesson today is Psalm 15. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right, and speak the truth from their heart, who do not slander with their tongue, and do no evil to their friends, nor take up a reproach against their neighbors, and whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest, and who do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Much Cheryl and Gabe and choir. Beautiful. Today is the third Sunday in a four-part series. Today we're going to think about the question, why go to church? This series is, the title of it is A Thoughtful Faith, and it is based on two scriptures, overall arching scriptures, Romans 12:2, which says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds, and the greatest commandment, of course, to love God above all else and to love neighbor as self, or as Jesus says, to love others as I have loved you. Listen now for God's word to us and for us from the 10th chapter of the letter to Hebrews and from Matthew 16 chapter, verses 13 through 18. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And from Matthew's Gospel. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, well, some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered Peter, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. For the word in scripture, for the word in creation, for the word within us, thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, silence every voice in our hearts and minds but your own. Help us to be open to your transforming word that has a new thing to say every time it is read, every time it is proclaimed in word or in song. May it take root in our lives and bear fruit to your greater glory as you send us out into the world as your church. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. When you drove to church this morning, do you realize that 8 out of 10 of your neighbors chose to stay at home? They would rather find something else to do rather than go to church. The U.S. still remains home to more Christians than any other country in the world. Most of those Christians proclaim the same things that we proclaim and believe in. But the fact of the matter is, the average American comes to church 3 times in their lifetime. You've heard this before, to be hatched or baptized, to be matched or wed, or to be dispatched, buried. And you know, we've all heard the arguments, and sometimes they come from our own family members. Why go to church? A number of folks in the church believe that the church is filled with hypocrites. Some believe that they can get more out of private study or listening to a podcast, while others believe that Sunday morning is best spent on the golf course, riding a bike, or on the beach. These are the ways that they recharge their spiritual batteries. One churchgoer wrote in a letter to the editor of a newspaper complaining, saying, "I've gone to church 30 years now, and in that time I've heard something like 3,000 sermons, but for the life of me, I can't remember a single one of them. So I think I'm wasting my time, and I think that the pastors are wasting their time too." In place of going to church, John and Stacy Floyd Thomas and Mark Tolus, authors of The Altars Where We Worship, contend that Americans have constructed altars from the stuff of popular culture, namely body and sex, entertainment, sports, politics, big business, and science and technology. They may be right. But you know, as the proverb goes, there is nothing new under the sun. Some of the Christians who were recipients of the letter to Hebrews, a quick passage that I read this morning, thought that Jesus would be right back, but he wasn't right back, and they were losing heart. They were second generation Christians, and they forgot their first love, and they started neglecting God's church, just like we do sometimes, mixing and matching their religion, borrowing from the surrounding culture, or abandoning their faith altogether. And so the author of Hebrews encourages them, saying, "Let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another." In other words, we are our brothers and our sisters' keepers, and when we see somebody who's not in church, we need to reach out to them and see if there's anything wrong or if we can help get them reconnected. But you know, the people who received that initial letter to the Hebrews, they weren't the first backsliders. This story is played out, it's human nature, again and again, all throughout the Bible. Things start going well for the people of God. Life is good, life is easy, and then they and we backslide and forget our first love in our lives, the Lord our God. Sometimes it gets so bad in the Old Testament that people start hedging their bets, mixing and matching their religions by borrowing from the religions of the surrounding nations, who did all kinds of things that were prohibited, and one of the worst of them was sacrificing children. Now, we might think that we would never do that, but when anything else, including our own or our children's or our grandchildren's sporting or leisure activities takes first place in our life, then we've created an idol. God is clear about idols. In Exodus 20, God says, "You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." And then later on in that same chapter, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh, that is the Sabbath day to the Lord your God. Remember the Lord's day and keep it holy." I've heard the argument, and you probably have too, "I'm a good person, I'm kind and generous to others, so it's not important to go to church, at least not every Sunday." But in order to grow into the people that God created us to be, I believe that we need a constant diet of God's word and the nurture that only the church can provide in faith formation. Perhaps you're in a season of your life when you feel that you don't need the church. Of course, you're here, so I'm very thankful for that. But if so, please do know that the church needs you. There are people here who need you to show up, to give them a pat on the back or a smile or a word of encouragement, to provide relief to Jeremy in the office so that he can get away with Kathy and learn what it is that the parts of her ministry that he is going to help with in the future. We need help to host the upcoming November 10th Presbytery meeting. Come out and participate in Trunk or Treat or Pinellas Hope. So many of you do this, and you bring food for the manna box, or stand at the door and greet people as they come in. If we truly love God, then we will love what God loves, and God loves the church. When Jesus said to Peter, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Church is translated, the word is ecclesia. It means assembly. And in Jesus' days, there were lots of assemblies. There was the assembly of the synagogue, and there was the assembly of civic organizations, and there was the assembly of the church. And Jesus claims the church as his own assembly that belongs to him. The church was created by God to be the body of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's the community that is Christ's own with all of our bumps and warts. God loves us and wants to work through us. When I asked several members of Trinity and other folks that I know who are regular church attenders why they came to church, of course, everybody's sick now and then, and some people go on vacation. I'm not talking about that. But they are people who are regular attenders and show up all the time. The feedback that I got from them was varied, but it all fell under the general category that the benefit that they get out of coming to church far outweighs the inconvenience of getting up on a Sunday morning, rolling out of bed, getting dressed, and coming to church. Well, maybe you are one of them, or maybe you're not. And when maybe you are wondering, why go to church every Sunday? If so, then let me ask you this. If you knew that Jesus Christ himself was going to be present in worship on a regular basis when we came here, wouldn't you want to show up every single Sunday and be filled to equipped to do Christ's work in the world? One reader's response to the letter to the editor about his inability to remember sermons mentioned earlier says it well. They said, "I've been married for 30 years now, and in that time, my wife has cooked me some 32,000 meals." Well, if I was that wife, I'd ask him to start doing some of the cooking. "But for the life of me, I cannot recall the entire menu for one single of those meals. But I do know this. They all nourished me and gave me the strength I needed to do my work. And if I hadn't had those meals, I would be physically dead today. And likewise, if I had not gone to church for nourishment, I would be spiritually dead today." When we worship together, the Lord himself is present. Specifically, Jesus comes to his people for the word that is preached, read, preached, and proclaimed in music and liturgy and the sacraments. The church is where God speaks to us as a congregation and individually through the sermon and the scripture and the liturgy, the anthems. The Lord's Supper, which is called communion, the Greek is koinonia, is because there the people of God have intimate communion with God and with one another. The church is the place where we come and we are reminded whose and who we are, God's beloved children. It's where we are reminded of the promises of our faith. The church is the safe place where we sort out what's right and what's wrong. The church is the place where we come to receive forgiveness and guidance and encouragement and strength and healing. This church is the place where we receive the strength to keep on keeping on. It's a place of welcome and belonging, and at its best, the church is the God's community that welcomes and accepts all people just as they are where they are. And we are reminded to pass along what we have received, remembering that we have been blessed to be a blessing. Jesus established the church to continue his ministry in the world. The church incarnates God's love and God's presence. It is by our good deeds of mercy, compassion, and service, as the letter to the Hebrews puts it, that people are drawn to the church. That's something people want to be part of. And Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." We are to continue that work as we are sent out into the world, to be sent out and share God's love and work for no less than the reconciliation of the whole world. Christ equips us to do nothing less than to change and to heal the world. The church is God's answer to the brokenness in the world. Christ equips the church to do this, to heal. The church is God's idea. There are 2.2 billion Christians in the world. Imagine how different the world might be if every Christian, everyone who claims to be a Christian, would seek the nurture and shelter of God's living word in the church, and then go out and continue that work in the world. As Peter puts it, the church is a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that we may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We come to church to learn and to grow into the people that God created us to be, so that we might be sent out to do nothing less than change the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. At this time, I would like to please be seated. Following the worship service, you're invited to a time of fellowship in the fellowship hall. Please come and join us for that. Remember that we have been blessed to be a blessing because Christ has no body on earth now, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the hands through which Christ touches the world. Yours are the eyes through which Christ looks with compassion onto the world. And yours are the feet through which Christ travels to do good. Christ has no body on earth now, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. So go after you go to fellowship and after the prelude and be Christ's body. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Alleluia. And all of God's people said, amen.